morning, we're continuing with the Exodus and the story of redemption. Moses and the Israelites are camped at the base of Mount Sinai after being in the wilderness for 3 months since leaving Egypt. During this time, they are proceeding to a destination unknown, which will take an undetermined length of time, with nothing to show the way except the instruction of Moses. Remember, at the beginning of this saga, Moses was not held in high regard. However, God has clearly demonstrated his power and repeatedly demonstrated that he would provide for the Israelites. And he would do it through the leadership of Moses. Side note here, God will pick a leader and work through that point. It is up to God's people to follow the appointed leader until he clearly loses his way. The Israelites moved from point to point solely on the basis of God's word through Moses. Again and again, God provided the people would rejoice, but when encountering a new obstacle, they would quickly begin to grumble, apparently without any reference to past miraculous provisions by God. Jethro comes to Moses, was converted from being a pagan priest to a worshiper of the one true God, just on the testimony of God's provision to the Israelites. Jethro's vision also was a provision of God, because he provides not only to Moses, but for all future congregations of God's people with a system of governance. But at this point, the gaggle of people have no principles by which to live a life subject to God. They are completely under grace. Pick it up in Exodus 19:3. And the Lord called to him from the mountain and reminds him that he was taking care of them through all circumstances, and then establishes the covenant. If you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be my own possession among all people. For all the earth is mine. You shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. Now fast forward to the New Testament. 1 Peter 2:9. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellence of him who called you out of darkness into marvelous light. Did you catch the purpose? That you may proclaim the excellence of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. You have a response. We have a responsibility. Old Testament and New Testament God's people are to be priests and to be holy as he is holy. See 1 Peter 1:16 and his companion verse in Leviticus 11:44. Back to the Sinai. Moses and elders are called all the people together and presented God's covenant. How did the people react? Verse 8. All the people answered together and said, all that the Lord has spoken, we will do. Moses carried the word back to the Lord like God didn't know, but the act of transmitting the people's agreement sealed the covenant. The people had to agree to keep God's laws and obey his instructions in exchange for protection and blessings. It's a two-way proposition. So, if you don't obey, there is no basis to ask for anything. The Lord made an appointment with Moses for further instructions on the mountain. But first, everyone had to be consecrated. Consecrate means to set apart, make sacred. Sacredness is still very much a part of God's way of doing business today. It seems to me we often prefer to take a much more casual approach. As we continue with the law, there are some things which need to be highlighted. First, the Pentateuch, or the first five books of the Bible, are considered to be the law. Now, the Jewish addition to the law is the Talmud, which has two parts, the Mishnah and the Gemara. These writings are supplemental to the law as we know it. Then there is the belief, and I have heard it often expressed, that the law is the Old Testament and graces of the New Testament. I submit to you that the Israelites operated exclusively under grace until the law was given and they assented to following God. It is for you to know that there is law and grace in both the Old Testament and New Testament. Further, Jesus in Matthew 5:17-18 says, and I quote, "Do not think that I have come to abolish the law of the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. For I tell you truly, until heaven and earth pass away, not a single jot, not a stroke of a pen will disappear from the law until everything is accomplished." I don't think that leaves much wiggle room. Now, some things have been accomplished, and some law is directed to a nation, but more on that later. But there is much that is still operative for a believer. Older Testament saints came to salvation similar to us who were grafted in, with grace flowing from the faith and obedience, a gift of God. They look forward to Messiah while we look back. Let me suggest that the law then and now was and is God's method of developing a spiritual life of faith and obedience. It seems to me that the very act of trying to define the boundaries of the law is itself Pharisaic. I submit the following is a simplified basis of the law. 1. Used to instruct and sensitize our confidence. 2. Outline and magnify the area of human relationships. And 3. Drive us straight into complete reliance on God or Christ, as we see there is no way on our own we can achieve any standard of holiness, which is what the Lord requires. More next week, but today I'll close with Proverbs 30, verse 5. Every word of God is flawless. He is a shield to those who take refuge in Him. Grace, peace, and blessings to us all. Good day.